pay back when they got into the country. They had to pay back the fees basically for their travel, for their work permit, for accommodation and everything, which under, if I remember correctly, Section 32 of the Employment Permits Act of 2006, it is actually against the law to make the person who is getting the work permit to pay for it. And they were trying to claim that because it was, the contract was signed in the Ukraine, that my claim was bogus, but it was for an Irish work permit, so therefore the legislation applied. Right. So I stopped them importing a bunch of, I think they were trying to bring in about 10 kids into the country. There was a complaint into the minister's office, which is like, you know, complaining to me to like the Senate. So it just means I was doing my job.
Yeah. Well, good on you.
So now that it's recorded, I'm going to have to not talk about this anymore. Hi, Carlos.
You stopped human trafficking?
Yeah, I kind of did.
Badass.
Right?
And it's just one of them. There was another one where, for some reason, we have a lot of Brazilians who come in who look after horses. And for some bizarre reason, they all seem to have, you know, family emergencies that require them to go back home that happen to coincide with the end of flat season. And the reason I was able to refuse them and sort of stop them being trafficked back in is, now it's technically not trafficking, but in another, you know, it really is. You're supposed to, if you are getting a work permit in Ireland, you have to, full-time work is deemed to be, I think it's 48 weeks a year you have to be employed, you have to be paid for that amount of weeks. And these were all 32, so I actually had legal grounds to go, not renewing it, go away, goodbye, they're not getting back in. And actually the employment agency that were trying to bring the kids in for the horses were already under investigation by the immigration cops for importing nurses from the Philippines. And like when these people come in, they're put into really, really bad accommodation. And you know, they're put on, especially the likes of the nurses, they're on shift work. So basically one person gets up out of the bed, the next person just goes back into the bed that's just been vacated. So it's fucking horrendous.
What is flat season? What does that mean?
It's something to do with a flat course, flat racing course.
Course,
C-O-U-R-S-E. Oh. So basically it's on the flat. There's no hills. It's not like a steeplechase. There's no hurdles. It's just literally horse speed racing.
Oh.
We have, I guess.
Yeah, you guys do it, but you know the way you go around tracks and stuff like that? We don't have like the big dusty tracks. We actually have this whole green stuff on the ground that they run on. And it's
we think that'll just tempt them to stop and eat too much.
They're all on steroids anyway, so it's fine. It's flat ground for whatever furlongs that they're racing them for. So it's like a drag race on horses, okay, on a flat road.
Cool.
Yeah, not so really. That's flat season. So that only runs from, I think, spring to around end of September, October. So it's a limited time frame. Oh, look what arrived, Carlos.
Ooh, look at that.
Yeah, right. I've shown off my empty space yesterday. Or last night, or this morning.
Not so empty anymore.
My poster arrived.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's about 3 foot by a foot and a half.
Killer.
I am not sending you one of those just yet.
Not yet.
We'll wait and see. If I get really, really good book sales, then I promise I'll send you one.
When the movie comes out, I'll get the movie poster.
Absolutely.
That's right. There you go. There you go.
They'll probably hire someone not from Fiverr to make the poster.
Possibly not. Actually, I'm really, really pleased with that because the other lady I've been using, she is Indian. So she did the covers for Red Hot Summer and Of Heroes and Kings. But if I was to go to her and get it bespoke, it was going to be something like $300. That was $30.
Nice.
And that's just as good.
Yeah. And that was tipping the girl like another $5.
Nice.
And then having to get her to fix the spelling on the spine because she missed one of the S's.
Uh-huh. Where's she from?
She's American.
Probably voted for Trump, huh?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
She can't spell crossing.
We won't talk about the
American
education system. I have my own opinions on that too.
I am the new American education system.
That's right.
But I'm not contained within America.
That's right.
Cool.
See, you are completely international now. I mean, you've got a new Spanish student and everything.
Yeah, we are definitely worldwide at this point. So it's an international conglomerate.
Yeah, you'll have to do your Google map.
Yeah, once I get the map 2.0 done, I'll look at that as a project because it certainly would be interesting. I did one when we first started the pilot program, but there's only like 18 of us. So it was a little bit easier. And it was still cool to see. I was like, oh, this would make a great road trip. But now it'll make a great round the world trip. Yeah, they sell round the world plane tickets, I hear. I got to figure out how that works and start looking at getting some of those.
Wow.
So,
John, did you make a decision on your Afton thing?
You know, honestly, I haven't had a chance to give it much thought since our last conversation because I've been focusing on the whole birthday bundle thing. So yeah, I guess that's on the battle plan for this week is to.
How did that work out? The birthday bundle. Today's the day, right? I just saw an email.
Yeah. The first waves went out yesterday, and then I sent another one out this morning saying, you know, like only 7 hours left to take advantage of the limited time offer and that whole marketing ploy.
No disrespect. I didn't read the 7 hour one because I already availed of the.
No, but so I got my newest super fan right over here next to me. So that worked out well. And cool. I have one other purchase besides my mom. So
right on. Cool. So, I'll probably get in on that. I'm a little bit behind getting through my email.
Okay. That's cool. I appreciate it. So, you know, like I told Elaine, it's first time doing it and it wasn't great, but it's not like it was a zero either.
Right. Don't really expect it to be at this point. It's just something to try. It wasn't one of our proven methods.
Right.
So we don't put it in the map lesson just yet. But you got some music done, and it'll be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I call that a win. High five. Happy birthday. What are you now, 29? With 10
plus
years
VAT.
Experience?
I wish. Yeah, I 45.
Not and, the president, the age, yeah.
It's funny, I wrote a song several years ago called 18 Again that I probably need to look at, like, reviving. you know, it's basically a song about if I was 18 again, this is what I would do.
Yeah, probably different than what you would have done when you're 18 again when you were 35, right?
Yeah, probably. Probably. Cool.
18 again, version 2.
Yeah, 2.0.
I did that when I was 44. I was like, yeah, I'm 22 again. And to make it even better, my mother was 22 for the third time. At the same time, I was 22 for the second time. So
nice.
Yeah, so anyway, so like, yeah, I mean, so I tried something new, got a little bit outside my comfort zone and tried something new. So
that's definitely a win. That's awesome.
Yep.
So awesome. Well, I have some interesting stuff, I guess. Shwilly news, we haven't opened with much Shwilly news the last few ones, but you know, I'm rolling through the modules pretty quickly now. So I'm doing them in a way that there'll be a little more editing on the second round, but at least my mom gets the transcriptions done. And the editing and updating should be easy, and I might actually get this thing fucking out by the end of before September ends. Maybe October, I'm entirely confident out. If I can do it September, that would be awesome. But I had three major ideas over the last week, which I've emailed you guys about the one about the I'm going to call it an internship program. And is the VA services that I've been thinking about expanding on. So. Mm-hmm. You guys, I'm sure already know, but for anyone watching the replay, that didn't get the email, it occurred to me because, when Dan, when I was interviewing him last week, He's been around so long. It was like, well, no sense me explaining to you everything that I've been teaching you for the past 3 years anyway. Do you have any questions for me? And he came up with some really excellent questions. And that's what inspired this whole Musicpreneur Q&A series that I've got going on right now in the email. But one of the first questions that came in was, where can I find a low-cost intern that I won't have to spend so much time training that it would be better just to do it myself? And that's when it occurred to me, I've spent about the last year training some people on these skills. And I bet some of them might like to make some more money. And mom's tapped out. She's at max right now. So, and plus she'd like to just retire in general. I figured even though I've kind of been tossing around the idea for a while, it occurred to me, well, I could see what, mappers want to participate in this and create a pool from there and start offering services. And the ones that we can fulfill, that would be good for some people. So that's my one big idea. So anyone that's interested that hasn't emailed me yet, email me. As soon as I get a decent pool of a few people together that I can draw from, I'll put out an announcement and we'll see what happens with it. Just kind of grow it gradually.
What kind of skill sets are you looking for?
Anything that musicians, basically I'm going to put out, if you had an intern, what would you have them do for you? And yeah, and we'll see what responses I get. Social media, a lot of clerical stuff, social media scheduling. Got a Philip and Tim are both down for video editing. Matt can do mastering and music stuff. So I'm not sure if I would include that in that or have to set a separate price or whatever, wherever that works. Working on their website, WordPress stuff. Susan had mentioned she'd like someone to do all the tedious, filling out of paperwork and stuff to register all of her songs. So clerical stuff. Mm-hmm. We'll see what comes up. Basically, anyone that's interested, email me. I'll put you on the list. Tell me what skills you have to offer. And I'll just kind of make a kind of list for right now, but I'll put you on a separate email list. And then when I get a job request, I'll send it out and see who wants to do it, basically. Cool. So I don't know what, I've got a huge array of things because I've put out the feelers a couple times. I put out that almost exact question once before and I have a dozen emails of I would have them do this and this. So I'm sure a lot of it's clerical stuff and a lot of it's, see, my first inclination was, all right, I started realizing I should only do client work for mappers because people that aren't part of the map that come to me and are like, oh, can I hire you to do this? We're not on the same wavelength. And they have very different expectations. And it's like, I'm wasting your time and my money, my time and your money doing this for you. Cause it's not going to do what you want. So, but then, the more intern type and the clerical stuff, that's still something that you guys, if you don't know, you're at least in the right mindset and have the interest for it. It's something you could benefit by doing and learning and doing some busy work. So those of you that have some time that you want to trade for some money, we can work that out. And we can kind of offer some of that stuff outside of the immediate circle and could grow into a whole nother branch of the business. Mm-hmm. So that's that. The two other ideas I have, this one I've already realized I need to put it on the back burner for now, but audio theme, how excited I am about them. It's great. They have, because the biggest problem with WordPress is all the crappy themes. But, and their themes are really good. And specifically for musicians. So I bought the unlimited license and I give it away to everybody as a way of adding value to the map. And making it easy because I can help with a lot of that stuff. And when it's these themes, the more I work with them, the more comfortable I am with them and the more we all are and can help each other with them. But I ran into this issue because I'm working on about 3 or 4 websites right now. And so I emailed their tech support with this problem and they were great. They emailed, oh, use this CSS code. Just plug this in here. Blam, it'll fix it. Perfect. And I was so impressed by them. And then someone else came to me with a question about their site. And I emailed and I responded. I was like, oh, you helped me so much with that. I have this question on this other site now. And they're like, oh, we can only give you tech support on one site. I bought the unlimited license. And they're like, yeah, but if you check the FAQ, we can only give you tech support on one site. And I responded back like, well, how can I get unlimited tech support? I would pay for it. I'd pay extra for it. I'd pay double what I paid for the unlimited license just to have the unlimited tech support to go along with it. Like, no, we can't do that. What you should do is have the people that you give the theme to buy their own membership. No, get their own membership. So, but they have to buy the theme anyway themselves to get the tech support. So I'm like, well, that's complete fucking bullshit. You give me an unlimited, and it's not like I'm going to be on your ass every single day. But the more I get to know these themes, I'll know what problems come up and I'll know how, and I'm not going to be a thorn in their side to do that. So that really pissed me off. It's like, I was like, I wanted to send an email back being like, well, I understand it's obviously you guys have excellent designers there, but do you have anyone with any business experience? Because I'm available for business consulting. I can help you build a better business. But I decided ultimately I don't want to squeak too much because I don't want them to get to know me and blackball me or whatever. I'd rather just end the conversation with her and then email again and see if I get a different rep that doesn't mess with it. In the meantime, I figured out that other issue, but by doing my standard troubleshooting stuff. But that, I think, is just bull crap that they would sell an unlimited license and then just say I can only get a tech support on one site. So, and it was on a client site. So that means when I rebuild my site, I was going to use one of their themes. If I run into problems, I'm screwed. So it occurred to me, we do have some advanced programmers in the map. Jason, Carmen being one, and Matt being an IT guy in his former life. What about Shwilly theme? You know, that could be a whole nother branch. So I think that's something that that's on the someday maybe or in the maybe near future list to look at. That's since I'm not a programmer at all. I can't develop the product at all. I'd have to bring one of these guys on as a major partner, which is fine. I'd even like be happy to like just have a minority stake in the separate company just to have what I want, you know? But it would be great. It would grow the Shwilly brand and it would have that for us. And then we'd have the support we need. But in the meantime, audio theme's still great. And it may take a year or two for I don't know what, you know, Jason took so long on that app. I don't know how long it takes to do that. I don't know how long it takes to do a theme or whatever. So that's something that might be in the next year or so. But, you know, another way to kind of, you know, how I teach you guys, bring everything in-house as much as you can. Since having a WordPress theme is a big part of what we do, why not have a Shwilly theme, you know? And have some, you know, make it and have direct influence on how it develops. That would make me happy as long as I got the right team. So that's my second big idea. I think that'll hold off for a little bit. And then my third big idea, do you watch The Prophet, John?
No.
Okay. You probably haven't, Lainey. It's a CNBC show, but this guy, Matt hadn't seen it.
Oh, CNBC. I take it that's a TV station.
Yeah, it's a channel here. It's an offshoot of NBC. It's like the business themed version of NBC, which was one of our major channels. Anyways, what he does is he's a rich, like he owns like probably a couple hundred different businesses at this point. And what he does, and it's a reality show. What he does is he finds businesses that are successful but struggling, and he goes to them. He looks over their process or whatever, and says, "All right, well, I'll invest this much money, and I'll teach you how to expand, you know, fix and expand your business, and I'll take this percentage of your company." So, and he just goes one after another. This is how he owns like 100. And at this point, he's got so many. Oh, well, you need this. I own a company that does that. We'll get them as our supplier. You know, so it works out great for him. But he really reshapes these businesses. But it's not just like fixing businesses. It's fixing and expanding them. You know, a great example is a hamburger store that restaurant that he invested in. His idea was, all right, we'll fix this up, get it running. I'll invest in refurbishing the store, do menus, and get you guys trained on how to run it properly. But that's not where it stops. After that, we'll use this as a model for franchising. So expand the business like in a way bigger. So he's taken people that are running, you know, $100,000 businesses, $200,000 businesses that are about to fail, fixing them and turning them into multi-million dollar businesses.
So basically the think big concept.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, he's taking already proven successful concepts. A lot of these are like family business, been around for 50 years. And when the next generation takes over, they don't know how to run a business and they run into the ground. So one of the biggest complaints I get about what I do is, oh, if you so know your shit so much, why don't you just manage me and build my business for free on a contingency of some future profit? And I get that. I get where they're coming from and the idea. Now, most of those people are people that don't want to do the work. So most of those people wouldn't qualify as someone I would want to work with anyway. But if I can find some successful, some that are, you know, already full-time musician or at least, you know, profitable musician, teach them how to, so I could make an investment in them, say, which would be like the map, which would be like a $2,000 value, build their website, another $1,000 value, plus manage it like $100 month's value, you know, so I could invest basically services and, you know, meeting with them regularly to get them fixed up, get them on track, get them running their business, and then in exchange, so all of that for free in exchange for whatever percentage of their business in perpetuity. Or, you know, if I wait till a little bit later after the map, when I have some money that I can free, then actually put actual money into it as well, as long as, you know, and determine what needs to be spent on and do that. So I was thinking kind of something along that lines, the musicpreneur profit, I guess, or something like that, because that kind of distills the argument of, oh, if you really believed in what you're doing, you would invest your own time and money into it. But if I find the right people, that would be worthwhile, you know, if I find to do. Problem is, most of the people that have that complaint are the people that are like, don't want to, like I said, don't want to do the work. But if I had an offering like that, I'm sure I could find people. I don't know if I told you guys earlier, once I finish this project, my next project is to figure out my $100,000 client, you know? So that's something like, if I get involved in like maybe something I could work with, like independent labels or something to help them figure out their business and how, you know, my business or my life coach said, oh, you're kind of turning into a label at that point. I'm like, maybe, but it's a way different approach to it. And I'm not looking to really take ownership or directive of anything, just be basically a business partner that for my percentage of what my ownership is in the business, I teach them and supervise them as the managers of their own business. Cause that's the thing on the profit. He's like, I'm not going to run your business for you. I'm going to check in every now and again to make sure you're running it correctly and shape up the ship if I need to. And I'm going to give you this infusion of cash right now to get what I know we need to invest in right now. Cause usually a lot of it has to do with mismanagement of funds. But anyways, that's my other, my three big ideas I had this week. The internship one is probably the one that'll start moving forward already. Cause I already kind of have something like that in place with Matt running the Schwitter machine. So it's just a matter of kind of expanding that a little bit at a time without diving into it. The other two require probably a bigger, more invest, like at least a time investment for the profit thing, which I'm not going to, I could, after the map 2.0 is done, take on one project as just a pet project and see how it works out. Cause I think that if I get a couple of those successfully done, you know, a couple really shaped, like word of that sort of thing would spread like wildfire. And, you know, my demand and price and the level of people, you know, businesses I'd be working with would increase very quickly. But, yeah, all of that would give me the ability to invest more resources into the map and continue making it awesome on a regular basis, because this is the heart and soul of everything I plan to do. But, yeah, just a couple ideas I wanted to throw out as I was brainstorming them. But what do you guys want to talk about?
Well, I like your ideas that you just said. Cool. I think they're good ideas, and it brought up something that I've been thinking about recently, because I've basically now been at this for a year, really dedicating myself to my artistry full time for only about a year, and I've almost reached the point now where I almost feel like the time might almost be right to bring on a team member. And I remember watching some of those videos from the Music Launch Summit where they're like, when's the right time to have a manager? When you're famous enough to have a manager, and that, right. kind of thing, right? You know, and but then there's also, you know, the new model also seems to be, it's not do it yourself anymore. It's do it together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm almost at the point now where I have enough balls in the air where I do need a little bit of help. So, you know, the internship thing would be good. Like if I could find somebody that could be the person to, you know, send out the emails to all the venues in Nashville that I want to play at.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
On my behalf, you know, so I don't have to fuck with that. I would pay money for that.
Yeah.
Because that's something that I know I need to do that I don't really want to do. But I know, but that's actually, now that the whole birthday bundle thing is over, that is the next phase that I'm planning on tackling for the next 6 months, is getting myself out there live. And I, you know, that's something I would hire a MAP intern, you know, to help me with for, yeah, for on a part-time basis.
Cool. That's great. That's why it's such a benefit for me to just have a pool of people that I can draw from for that. So it's not like, all right, you're obligated to, you know, hire them for so much. Here's, you know, you can, it makes it a lot easier for you guys. So that's cool to know that that's, and I know that's something, and that's something that, like you said, you don't want to fuck with, but it's something that just the fact of doing it, it helps people develop the skills, you know, yeah, to make a little bit of money doing that. It's, you know, to have people that are interested, as opposed to like finding some VA farm in India where, you know, sure, you pay $4 an hour, but
yeah,
what do they know about music and how, you know, good is their English?
Yeah. And there's, and being in Nashville, of course, there's plenty of probably college interns I could find, but then, you know, you talk about the time saved and not having to teach somebody what to do,
mm-hmm,
you know, that's worth something. You know, cool. If I can hire a Schwilly or a Mapper, that's out there doing it and has experience doing it, and I could pay them to do the same thing they did for themselves as a musician to do the same thing for me, I'd rather do that.
Right on. Cool. I know.
So that's interesting to me.
Cool. I think I'll be able to put out some info about that in the not too distant future. Like I said, that'll probably be the first one that comes up once I kind of figure out exactly what I'm working with.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, I didn't have much else today other than just kind of taking a breath from the last week's push, you know, to release the song and then kind of regroup and figure out where to go from here, which I guess is getting back on the Twitter horse and doing that whole game of and continuing to find new subscribers through Twitter. Yep.
So what I want to do is just get back into that, start building that audience, start looking towards that crowdfunding campaign.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you talked to, are you on Jason's app yet?
Yeah, I've been on it for a while.
Cool.
I haven't been on it recently because I've been spending my time working on the birthday bundle plus some other gigs that I had to spend time working on. But yeah, I'll be able to get back into that routine of following and unfollowing people and trying to find fans that way.
Sweet.
I've gotten a few subscribers off of that, so I just need to do it more in volume. That's all.
Yep.
So that might be the big goal for the rest of the year, is just really bear down on the Twitter thing.
Yep. You decide you want to turn on the fire hose, that, you know, that's what the Schwitter machine basically is. Because yeah, it follows like the 950 a day. So that's more than a lot of people can handle. In fact, we're at the point where the people have been doing that for a while. They're like, okay, I just need a month off to get caught off. I'll see you like a month later.
Right.
That's a good thing. You know, that's the best kind of feedback to get is that, yeah, you're sending me too many people.
Yeah. Nice problem to have, though.
Yeah.
Nice problem to have. But then again, I mean, that's where you have an intern to help you answer, yep, those messages and do all that stuff. So I'll have to see, you know, with my upcoming gig calendar and the money I'm going to make from that, see where I want to reinvest that.
Right on.
That might be worth something in a couple of months when I've got a few more gigs done.
Yep, for sure. That can kind of speedboat you past that hump. Where you at on subscribers now?
229.
Cool.
Plus three more that subscribe but never click the confirmation email.
Yeah.
That's actually really becoming an issue. Yeah, we talked about that once before.
Generally, it's like 30% that don't click that. What I've done the last couple times I've set it up is just done the single opt-in.
I think that's what I'm going to have to do. Because you suggested that the last time we had this conversation.
Yeah.
And I think just to make it easy, I think that's what I'm going to do.
If they don't like it, they'll unsubscribe. That's cool.
Right. I think that's what I'm going to do.
I think that whole single option, you know, it's not a law in the, well, I don't know how I did that, but it's not a law that you have to do that in this country. The law is that you have to have the unsubscribe option available. And it's just more of a ethics rule, I guess. But I think that more applies to the more marketing types that are really just, that are a lot more spammy. But since we don't spam people.
That's right.
I think
that's going to be.
No shame about that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the thing to do. I think that's the first thing I'm going to do when I get ready to tackle the business side again for this next week between now and next Thursday. I think I'm going to change to single opt-in and do what I need to make whatever adjustments I need to make on my thank you page to make sure they get the links as soon as they hit subscribe button.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, you can do that on the thank you page, but if it's in the welcome email, they still get that, you know.
Yeah, at some point, if they really want it, they'll go search for that email.
Right.
You know, because it might still end up in their spam.
Right.
Or their promotions tab. But if they want the music, then they'll go looking for it.
Right, exactly. And that's the fans you want, is the ones that go looking for your emails. Like, I don't worry about getting into the spam folder because I know that my people, if they don't hear from me, they'll go look in their spam folder and find me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah. What were you going to say, Elaine?
No, it's just Matt had raised that before, I think, in one of the threads in the group. And it was to, in your, thank you for subscribing, please check your inbox, to actually put in that, you know, it is possible it may go into spam. So if you don't see it straight away, to go look there. So you're kind of covering yourself and giving them the direction where to look for
it. Yeah, that's a good idea too, for sure.
Yeah, just lead the horse to the water as close as you can.
Absolutely, yeah.
Can't make him drink, but you can hold the bowl. You know, you can scoop right up the water out of the river and like hold it right up to his nose and see if he doesn't jerk away, you know.
That's right. Cool. Yeah. Right on. All right. That might be the best takeaway from this session so far. That's
good. You guys like my shirt?
Whoa. Yeah, I was kind of admiring it. All right, yeah.
You might notice it doesn't have a collar.
Yeah, I kind of noticed that too.
So here's the story with that. Like, when I got it, it was like right around my neck, like
all right,
tight. Okay. So I was like,
"Oh, that was the largest size they had."
They don't have American sizes. Like, this is an XL, like I asked for, but it's definitely not an American XL.
It's a proper European XL.
Yeah. So what I did was like, I'll stretch out the collar, and I pulled on it like this, and the seams ripped right here.
Yeah, you're just going for like grungy, trendy kind of hipster.
Yeah, well, my mom's a master seamstress, so she like fixed this no problem. But I'm like, can you just take off the collar too while you're at it, so that it looks neat but doesn't strangle me?
Yeah, we did all that kind of stuff in the 80s with our t-shirts, so.
I wouldn't have known if you hadn't said anything.
Yeah, maybe if I turn on my light, you can tell from the high def, but it's good enough to appear in the map lesson videos.
Yay.
I have to get some t-shirts made now, don't I?
Yeah, if you want them in the map lesson videos, send me one.
Yeah, well,
I got a rotation in my closet.
Yeah, so. I'll have to put them on the budget for the next 6 months to see what I can swing.
For screen printing. He's not a mapper yet, but Punk Rock Clothing.
Okay.
It's PUNKRAWK KLOTHING. So
can you spell that again, please?
Punk, like it should be.
Yeah.
Rock RAWK and clothing is KLOTHING. Here, let me put it in the chat here.
Perfect. Thank you.
There we go. So these guys, go ahead.
These American?
Yeah, they're in Minnesota.
Okay, it's just that if I try and order anything that's sort of big in clothing like that, I'm going to get hammered for customs.
Okay, so it may not work internationally, but for those of you around here, as a Schwilly kid, part of how they sustain themselves is by doing their own screen printing. They're way underpriced. When I get a chance to talk to him, I'm gonna try to convince him to raise his prices. These are the guys, but it'll still be a great price. But these are the guys. You know that email I sent about not being a slave for
your own.
It's these guys, man. They had all this great merch that was all handmade, and then they just dropped the prices down to nothing. It's like, oh man. And they play like 300 shows a year and we're broke and starving. I'm like, you guys should be making some good money. You guys should be driving a nicer van. You got great stuff. And they're like, our fans are broke. I'm like, no, don't sell to the broke fan. Don't cater to the broke fans. Sell the premium stuff. I was like, I'm right here. I will pay $20 for this. Find more fans like me, you know, if you present your stuff that way. And if you do the work, don't use it to lower your prices, just lower your costs and keep your prices normal. That's how you increase your income without raising the price. Anyways. So yeah, but definitely I would recommend supporting these guys, cause they'll give you a great price. And it's helping some Shirley kids make their money too. If they can get their prices aligned. But yeah, anyway, so cool. Well, did you have anything else you want to talk about, Elaine?
I got another win about, let me see, nearly 3 hours ago. The same group that I did the gamelan composition thing for, I just got pulled out of the hat for a wind quintet concert in December, so I have to compose for that as well.
They had a drawing for who got to do it?
Yeah, well, there's 120 of us in the group. So anytime they're getting their act together this year, in that they're organizing a specific series of concerts throughout the year. So if anybody's interested in composing for, and it's a different genre, it's a different style, or if it's a different instrumentation group, and they get into negotiations with other performing groups to see, do they want to work with us? So they normally have, if you're interested, you throw your name in the hat, basically. And there's about 6 composers picked for each concert. So I got picked again. So this will be like my third one this year.
So by the time you part of the group, they've already determined that you're qualified enough.
Oh, you actually have to send off like a links to your SoundCloud. You actually have to be assessed by the other group members.
Okay, cool. Right on. High five.
Yay.
Now, is that just in Ireland, or is that open to composers?
It's called the Irish Composers Collective. So, it sort of narrows it down to, you don't have to be in Ireland, but you have to be Irish.
Well, that count me out for that.
So, most of Boston qualifies.
Near enough, yeah.
Yeah, and parts of Chicago and Northwest Indiana, for sure.
And probably half of Canada as well.
Wow.
The non-French half.
And and most Australians.
Oh, yeah. Is that why Australians are so flammable?
No, that would be the English ones that went over. Australia was originally a penal colony where the English sent all the so-called Irish convicts who were stealing food to feed themselves when they couldn't actually eat, you know?
Oh my gosh.
Which is weird because it's the friendliest place I've ever been.
Yeah.
People there are so friendly.
Well, they're really, really laid back, and they're just, maybe the weather, maybe it's a case of, you know, it's like Jamaica around the other side of the country, the world. And it's just chilled. Yeah, they seem to have a much better grasp on life and culture. And I don't know. It's not a country it's actually ever attracted me to want to go visit, I have to say.
Too friendly?
No.
Too laid back?
No. I think it's just going to be too hot.
It's hot. It's fucking hot.
Australia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's like 90% desert.
20 degrees here, and that's 20 degrees centigrade, so I don't know what it is in Fahrenheit.
It's like 150, maybe?
No, I don't think so. 20 degrees is like, you know, room temperature, and we're sweltering going, oh my God, this fucking heat, I can't take it. when we get up to 32, which is probably in your high 90s or something like that, we're going, oh man, we can't work. This is just ridiculous. Yeah. Mm. We're a temperate country, so we're, you know, anywhere between 4 degrees for cold and about 20, 21 degrees is hot enough.
Right. Well, what is it? I think 0 Celsius is 32 Fahrenheit, I think.
Yeah, that's the math.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. But, so I guess whatever the Celsius is, do you add 32?
No, it's not one-to-one. It's, like, complicated. Oh, yeah. Do you know why they drive on the left side of the street in England? Do they drive on the left side in Ireland? Do you know why they drive on the left side of the street in England and Ireland?
Why?
Because when they were riding horses so that they could show the people that they were oncoming traffic that they weren't armed, so that they could see that they didn't have like a sword in their pocket or a dagger in their belt.
Oh, you know? Got it.
Because most people are right-handed.
Yeah, if you ever come over, there is a castle in Waterford called Reginald's Castle, and it's one of the only few castles I think around the world where it actually has a left-hand spiral as opposed to a right-hand spiral.
Interesting. Because
the king at the time was lefty, or as we call them, Kittogs, and he built it so that he would be able to go and pull his sword out and fight down the stairs, because that's the whole point of having these spirals, is so that it makes it harder to carry on a battle as you're trying to walk up these round towers. And it was to stop right-handed marauders trying to use their swords while trying to, and that's exactly why the reason why he did it the way he did it.
That makes sense.
That's cool. That's cool.
I love history sometimes.
History is cool.
I know, I gave you another history lesson last night. I do apologize.
I'll take it.
Although I have to laugh when you guys kind of come along going, oh my God, that's like pre-Civil War. Yeah, by about 10,000 years. Like, come on. You're like, my God, that's like, you know, if anything that's 700s or 1700s is like, it's absolute ancient stuff. Right?
Yeah, no. History for you doesn't even start until more than like 200 or 300 years ago.
Isn't that the old saying that to us, 100 miles is a long way, but to you guys, 100 years is a long time?
Yeah. It is longer than me. Right on. Cool. Is that anyone else have anything else we should talk about?
That's all I could think of for today.
Cool. Yeah. Well, good talk.
I was going to say, thanks for getting back to me about the website, because it's just, you'd made a comment saying that it wasn't bad. So I'm thinking, okay, if I want a real kick ass, do I need to revamp my website? But if you're okay with it, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. So anyone that wonders if they need a new website, if you got nothing else going on and you feel like updating it, that's cool. But yours is totally fine. It's not, you know, nothing wrong with it. It's clean. It's nice. It's navigate, you know, the navigation is there. If you were having, if they were overcharging you, or if you were having some major issues with the design or anything like that, then it's worth being urgent about switching it. So you might think about it later, when you have free time and stuff, but you got so much other stuff going on. There's no reason to make it a priority at this point.
Grand. Okay. Thanks for that.
Cool. All right. Well, we squeezed in more actual topics today than we did yesterday. cool. I'll have the replay up in a little bit, and I'll look forward to hearing about your wins next week.
All right. Appreciate everything you do, Carlos. Thanks.
All right. Love you guys. Talk to you later.